name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Over the past few months, I've spent quite a bit of time in airport security lines. The last trip I took from Oakland to Raleigh was a particularly long line. It snaked around the terminal, outside the door, to the curb where more and more passengers were getting into it. As I waited diligently for my turn through security with my boarding pass and my ID in a convenient pocket, all sharp objects and fluids removed from my carry-ons, my computer removed from its bag, wearing slip-on shoes ready for easy removal, I couldn't help to notice how much we do to ensure a safe journey. The do's and the don'ts have grown exponentially longer, as well as the procedures for getting through those security lines. And the airports are peppered with signs like, "For your safety, we ask you to remove the following items from your bags." "For your safety, we ask you to remove your shoes," and so on, and so on. For my safety. What are these signs promising me? Are they promising me that if I had no liquids in my bags, if I kept my bags close, if I had a proper ID, or if I just simply followed their rules that I would be safe? That I would arrive at my destination unharmed? In today's Gospel from Matthew, the disciples are wondering how to get back to the shore to pick up Jesus, who was off in the distance. And suddenly they saw this figure walking across the water, and it came closer, and they grew afraid. What was that thing? As the disciples strained to see who or what it was, they heard the familiar voice, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter called out to the voice, "Lord, if it is you, let me come out to you." And in a huge leap of faith, Peter steps out of the boat and walks on the water. But the waves around him are huge, and he soon becomes frightened and begins to succumb to the waves and to drown. "Save me!" Jesus grabbed him and pulled him to safety and suddenly chastises him. "You of little faith." Well, what does faith have to do with fear and panic? Peter clearly had enough faith to step out into the water and to walk. Isn't stepping out and moving towards Jesus enough? Does having faith change the fact that the waves are huge and the water is deep and death is near? You of little faith, why do you doubt? What exactly is Jesus saying here? If Peter actually stepped out and walked, what exactly was he doubting? Well, he certainly didn't doubt the waves. He knew he could be overtaken by them. And I don't think he doubted that Jesus was divine. Jesus clearly wasn't having any trouble staying on top of the water. And when Peter started to sink, he did call out to Jesus, "Save me." So he did have that expectation that Jesus could actually save him. So what was it that Peter was doubting? What did he have so little faith in? I wonder if it was the relationship that Peter doubted in when he was fighting those waves with such difficulty. I wonder if Peter expected something different when he stepped out onto the water. Did he expect the water to be calm and placid to ensure a safe journey? "Jesus, if you loved me, why are these waves so huge? Why is this experience so scary?" So what exactly were the expectations Peter had of Jesus? standing back at the security checkpoint, what expectations do I have for Homeland Security? For your safety? For my safety? Are they promising me something? Or am I asking them to promise me something they can't promise me? Am I setting up this wonderful conditional relationship? If, then. If I follow the rules, then my journey will be safe. Is this agreement fair and honest for both parties? In a world where a storm can overtake a plane in a matter of seconds, or a wave can grow so large that it not only can overtake people, but it can overtake boats, villages, and cities. If, then. A conditional agreement. If I take off my shoes, I will be safe. If you loved me, the waves wouldn't be so large. Looking at it now and having the advantage of knowing the whole gospel, we know that walking a path of discipleship isn't a calm sea. The Gospel of Matthew was believed to be written at the end of the first century, and it was connected to those early Jewish Christian believers who knew the difficulties of discipleship all too well. And this story must have been very symbolic to the discipleship they were feeling in those early years. Jesus had instructed the disciples to go out without him, just like in the story. And they were separated from Jesus by a huge sea in the story, miles of water, which to those early readers would have easily connected water with chaos. So there's the disciples, disconnected from Jesus in the midst of all this chaos. And Jesus was asking them to do the impossible, to walk on water, to spread the gospel in a place that it was politically unsafe to spread. Early Christians would go through centuries of persecution before Christianity would become legal and safe to practice. So through all those turbulent years, it must have felt like they were unloved by God. Why would a God who loved them would make the path of discipleship so difficult? So this message of having faith despite the uncertainty, despite the fear and panic, must have been very vivid to those early readers of Matthew's gospel. I wonder what type of promises they are trying to make with God during this time. I wonder what this has to do with Jesus' followers today. Do we try to make the same promises with God? Do we try to set up a conditional if-then relationship with Jesus? If I follow all the rules, you will make sure I am safe. If I work hard, if I go to church, be kind and love others, nothing bad can happen to me. If I have faith, discipleship will be easy. Not exactly. This is something I really struggle with. I really, really, really want to believe that if I follow all the rules, all will be well. Just as much as I want to believe that Homeland Security can ensure a safe journey in any weather. It's good to love others and to do as Jesus calls us to do. But what are we implying by this contractual relationship, by this conditional relationship? If you cared for me, God, you would. What? Make the world go as I want it to be? God can't make those promises. You see, God's already shown that God loves us. God loves us so much that God wanted to experience what we experience. The love, the joy, the pain, the fear, everything about being human. God sent Jesus, fully human, fully divine, to love us, to understand us, and to call us into relationship with God. Jesus and God cares for those disciples because he was there in the water amidst the chaos. So God loves us unconditionally, no if-then statements, and calls us to be in that same type of relationship with God. We're called to have faith and to set aside our illusions that because God loves us, we will not experience the pain of human life. We must try in trying times to not infuse our fears with what is happening to us now with the fears that somehow we are unloved by God because bad things happen. Let us follow Jesus into this unconditional relationship with God. It's not an easy thing to do. The human response, of course, is exactly to do what Peter did, to ask why, to panic, and to lose sight of Jesus, and to begin to sink, moving further away from God. But Jesus reminds us in this story, here today, that when the winds begin to howl and the waves get larger, to not doubt that God loves us, but to remember that God understands our pain and will not abandon us. Amen.